far back as I could remember, I always wanted to be a...
Josh Cohen, and Home Team.
Josh Cohen and the Home Team. Listen live worldwide on any smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. This is ESPN 106.3.
Because every day above ground is a good day. Some are just better than others. And if you had the Chiefs or you're a Chiefs fan, well, today's just one of those days. Just a little bit better. The Home Team for the ride home. Live on ESPN 106.3. In the HOV lane, like it says in I-95, 4 to 6 Eastern Time. We also stream worldwide live on any smart speaker, any connected device. Just tell it, for fun, play ESPN West Palm. That's what you say. Play ESPN West Palm. And also streaming live worldwide on not just YouTube, on our ESPN West Palm Play, but on the ESPN app as well. It is Monday, the day after Super Bowl, and there's a sadness in my heart. And I'm sure there's a gladness of joy in both the hearts of Dean Thomas and Tina. Dean, you may.
I could not be happier right now.
The football's over?
The football's over. We got like another 6 months that I don't have to hear about football ever again.
That's so not true.
Well, I mean, off-season stuff ain't that bad. I can deal with that.
It's the day-to-day stuff. Wow.
Tina, I'm not trying to deal with that.
Tina, we understand you fell asleep last night at a Super Bowl party during overtime.
Yes, I did.
During overtime.
I am so excited that we do not have to talk about football. I don't have to follow it. I don't have to fake watch the games anymore.
What do you mean fake watch the game? You weren't watching the games anyway.
I was acting like I was at times. Like,
no, you weren't.
You know, I was somewhat watching highlights, and I'm so happy that we don't have to do that for another few
because
months.
You're lazy, you mean?
No, I just don't want to do it.
It's a long
and I do it for the show. Like, I do it so I can contribute.
So if you do it, then why were you claiming that you fake did it?
I barely did it. Like, I barely did it. But I did, like, yes, you were right. It was way past my bedtime last night, and I fell asleep in overtime.
You were at a party.
I was at a party. I was at a Super Bowl party.
You were at an outdoor Super Bowl party.
Yes.
Where they're projecting the game outdoors.
Yes, they were.
And you fell asleep during overtime.
Yeah, I was with all
the noise and the
screaming. But wait a minute. There's a disclaimer. She didn't fall asleep. She passed out.
Oh, you passed out too.
Yeah, I was very tired. Yeah.
No, that ain't what I heard.
Did you pass out or did you go to sleep?
No, I was sleeping.
No, I heard you.
No, we know you were sleeping.
What do you mean passed out?
Sleeping intentionally. Like, you know what? I'm going to go to sleep now.
Oh, no,
passing out means you weren't planning on it and you lose consciousness.
Yeah, that was, I passed out.
There you go.
Yeah, you're right. I passed out.
There you go. C-Cat, I know you watched the entirety of one of the greatest second halves in Super Bowl history, and certainly just the second overtime in Super Bowl history. I know you watched it in its entirety, much like myself, because it was history, bro. It was history last night.
Yeah, it's hard to one-up Tina's ringing endorsement for the rest of the 2 hours of this show by saying, I'm glad we don't have to talk football anymore, but I loved it. I loved every second of that day. It was awesome.
Love Super Bowl. Love the pregame. Not as much the postgame. Loved the second half of that game. The first half was a little bit, as we know, a little spotty. A lack of execution. There were bizarre mistakes. It was not a good football game in the first half. It was not good football being played by two teams. In the Super Bowl, you were expecting the best of the best, and it was just the opposite. It was the worst of the worst. But we'll get further into all of that coming up in a little bit. The point of issue, first and foremost, is how the game ended. Because this game ended suddenly in overtime, as overtime was expiring. People didn't know the rules. They didn't know would there be a second overtime. Yes, there would. They didn't know if the Chiefs scored right there beyond a field goal, was the game over. Yes, it was. There was a lot of confusion. And it wasn't just, I think, the Niners. It wasn't just, I think, maybe Mecole Hardman who caught the game-winning touchdown. It wasn't just maybe lots of fans. It may have been Tony Romo. Because when this ball was caught, which ended the Super Bowl and the season, Tony Romo inexplicably starts to describe the play when we all know when the announcer says, jackpot, Kansas City, you get out of the way, you be quiet, you let it breathe. That's not when you try to review what the play was. That's not when you have anything to say other than wait until it's time to then say. Listen to Tony Romo with Jim Nantz on the call. The game-winning touchdown pass to seal the victory and the second consecutive and third and 4 years Super Bowl championships for the Kansas City Chiefs. Listen for Romo.
You move to the second quarter. That's right. Because I can only feel the number of people out there being like, what's going on?
Shut up.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it. It's there. Hartman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
And this was the Andy Reid special. This was the Andy Reid special. We talked about he was saving all day. He's going to fake a motion to go across. And at that moment, he turns and goes back. Hartman, who they didn't have, right? And they go get Hartman and bring him back. And the game-winning drive of Mahomes' career, he's been waiting for. He's won Super Bowls, but he's never had it in an overtime. He is the best. He is the standard. And Michael Jordan wins it again.
And then he starts to double down. He starts to realize, oh, shoot, I shouldn't be talking right now. So then what's he do? He keeps talking.
Keeps talking.
He doubles down on his mistake. Tina, you watched enough. Even though you don't watch the games, or you pretend you watch the games or whatever it is, you know that when a game is won, when a championship is won, let it breathe.
Yes.
Right?
Hear the crowd.
And that's when Jim Nantz goes, for a third time in 4 years, the Chiefs are kings of the kingdom. And then it's quiet, and you hear the crowd, and you see the reaction, and there's a shot right there of Andy Reid, and there's a shot of Patrick Mahomes on the ground, and there's Travis Kelce, and then there's Taylor Swift up in the box with Little Orphan Annie, and then there's all, right, and but it's not Romo going, and it's a play that he called, and then he, and the, because there's no replay.
Right.
We're not seeing the replay. There's right. No telestration. Shut up.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, what if you just heard, shut up, dummy?
I think I think he didn't know. I think Tony Romo did not know the game was over. And by the way, you know what leads me to believe that? Because the ball is right there on the doorstop. And this could end the game. And he's talking right up until, oh, you're wondering, the clock's running out, but if it does, it'll be a second over. All of that probably doesn't happen in the gravitas of, oh my God, they're on the doorstep. They could score here. The season is over. They've done it again. He didn't have that leading into the play, as if he thought, A, they're not going to run a play,
right?
Or B, the game can't end here. See, you're watching.
No, I think he knew the game was over because in the actual play, you hear Romo mutter the words, won the Super Bowl. You just hear him say something to the effect that during Nance's call, he says, it's so-and-so weird. Won the Super Bowl.
Something going on with Tony Romo.
He's been, I feel like, in the headlines all week, he's just been getting hate.
He's been regressing.
For real?
He's been regressing in the job. And, you know, there was a conversation with the president of CBS Sports about, hey, you got to do some homework, and you got to prepare in advance. You really got to think these things out. Problem was, he was so kind of fun and good early on and fresh that he may have got lost in that sauce. Daniel Cormier.
Oh, yeah. That's what happens. Like, once you get comfortable and you feel like your personality is going to carry you the whole time, you stop doing your homework thinking, I could just show up and do the job.
Dominic Cruz called out
Daniel Cormier for doing that.
On the UFC side. So that was Romo ruining the call on CBS. Meanwhile, I'm getting DMs and tweets from people in their 50s and 60s saying they're watching the game on Nickelodeon. I'm like, what? Literally, a 68-year-old woman tweeted at me and said she's watching it on Nickelodeon and she's enjoying the hell out of it because there's no Romo.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was Ian Eagle, his son, I'm sorry, Noah, and Nate, right?
Nate Burleson. Yep.
Nate Burleson was on analysis. And then they also had Patrick the Starfish and SpongeBob, and they're providing analysis as well. Take a listen to how the game ended and sounded on Nickelodeon.
Here.
They called it.
All right, Nate.
8 seconds left in overtime.
Bro.
Mahomes roll behind. Touchdown! Kansas City wins back-to-back Super Bowls. It's Mecole Hardman.
Wow. They did it again.
That's how you do it.
What were they saying?
So that was like Patrick Starvin.
Yeah, there's characters.
That's what I'm saying. And
there's all the clink, clink, clink.
That's what I'm saying. It was so inaudible, though. You couldn't hear what they were saying. So it was funny.
The clink, clink, clink is like slot machine.
Yeah.
It's like shells or something.
Yeah.
You know, because they're in Vegas. Like clink, 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 clink. And the slime is going and all that. That's what it sounded like on Nickelodeon. All right. Kevin Harlan, who Tina is a huge fan of his Honeylicious broadcast.
Honeylicious.
Kevin Harlan, okay, Patrick Mahomes, complete, caught, Chiefs win. He is the godfather. We also realized 2 weeks ago that Ken LaVica stole his entire act from Kevin Harlan.
Stole it.
Ken LaVica does a tribute act of Kevin Harlan.
Yeah.
In fact, he should call himself La Harlan.
Yeah, La Harlan.
Ken is the best play-by-play guy we know personally.
Yes.
We didn't realize how much he was influenced by Harlan until we played Harlan a couple weeks ago. Touchdown, yeah. FAL.
And as soon as I heard it, I was like, whoa.
Touchdown, FAL.
Ken is spot on.
He is influenced by, right? Clearly. Yeah. Listen to Kevin Harlan on the Westwood One call. If you were listening to ESPN 106.3 last night, this is what it sounded like when this game was decided.
First and goal at the three. Lining up in the clock at 10 seconds and ticking. In the shotgun, Mahomes. Four-man front, receiver in motion, low snap. He runs and he throws, caught, touchdown! It's caught! Hardman caught the ball! The Chiefs have won! The Chiefs have won! The entire bench empties! Chasing Mahomes in the end zone! Their third Super Bowl in 5 years! The Chiefs are back-to-back Super Bowl champions! It is a dynasty! The Chiefs have won Super Bowl 58, 25-22 in overtime.
Kevin Owens on the radio. He's allowed to talk.
Oh, I was about, so good.
Yeah, I was about to say, all right, that's radio.
He's got to describe on radio. Bench is empty. They're chasing Mahomes in the end zone. He gives the final score. That's important because you talked about it last week. We talked about the odds makers.
Right.
And the over-under in this game was 47.5. At kickoff, it finally went down to 47. This game was 25-22. Tina, that adds up to how much?
25-22, 47.
Yep, 47.
I'm telling you, I feel like somebody stole the almanac, like Back to the Future, and they know what the score Biff, is. Yeah.
The old Biff sports almanac.
Yeah, they know what the score is, and they get it right almost every time.
Yeah. Kevin Harlan did it perfectly. He did what you're supposed to do in that spot. If you're radio, Tony Romo, I think, honestly did not know the game was over. And then once he started talking, realized, I better just go all in, because otherwise, what do you do?
Right.
Like, you're Romo, you got to keep going. It's, when they started the telecast, Romo and Nance were on this wide shot, and they were far apart. And Romo was talking fast, and he looked very nervous. He looked like he felt, oh my God, it is the Super Bowl. Oh my God, all eyes are on me. They're critical of me. Don't screw this up. Don't screw this up, which caused him to kind of screw it up. He's in his own head.
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious. He's got a little bit of the announcer yips. He's talking too much. He's talking too fast. And we know that when people are uncomfortable or self-conscious, they talk too much and they talk too fast.
Yep, and you people, can tell that with him too.
People that are comfortable, they don't say a whole lot more than they need to, and they don't talk super fast. John Madden was always comfortable. But you'll notice if you go and watch the early days of analysts and then the later days, everybody's voice is higher pitched in the beginning. And they talk faster in the beginning and they say too much. And when they get comfortable, it's when they bring it down. And they talk slower and they say less. Romo's doing the opposite.
What happened to him?
He's in his own head. He's self-conscious.
They
got him doubting him. They got him doubting himself. Here is the Kansas City radio call. This is the Chiefs play-by-play man, Mitch Holtis, who, by the way, is going to show you how really this is done. He's prepared for this. It's his team. So we can sound a little bit like a homer. You know, if you're Kevin Harlan, it's the Super Bowl, it's the championship. But there's a way you do it. If you're the chief announcer, well, it sounds very different if the Niners win it.
Right.
Than it does if the Chiefs win it. Take a listen to Chiefs radio on the final play of the game.
McKinnon is in at running back. First down and goal to go. Play action fake. Right side throw. Touchdown. Kansas City. McCole Hardman with the catch on the right side. A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game 25-22. And the Chiefs kingdom has started its own history class. Because for the first time in 6,944 days, there is a back-to-back Super Bowl champion, and it is the Kansas City Chiefs, champions of Super Bowl 58 on the heels of Super Bowl 57. The Chiefs do it in overtime.
Even he wasn't prepared. He was prepared for what he was going to say when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't prepared for that to be the end because he goes, the Chiefs win the game.
Yeah.
Well, you say that if it's week, I don't know, 12, 13, 14, 15, 18. You say it even if it's playoffs. The Chiefs won the season,
Right.
The Chiefs have won the Super Bowl.
Right.
When he says game, you realize he wasn't prepared for that to be the end either.
Yeah, because if
nobody was.
If all these football fans that watch football almost every week were asking questions about the clock, about the new overtime rules, it's very important for the broadcaster to make sure everybody knows, especially on radio, that's not just a touchdown. That's a Super Bowl winning touchdown.
This was the first time that the rules were different in overtime in a Super Bowl. Super Bowl has only had two overtimes ever. 2017, we saw it, obviously, the 28-3 comeback Patriots on the Falcons, and then last night. But this was the first year where the rules were different, where both teams get the ball no matter what, unless there's a safety. I forgot it. I'm not going to lie to you. I forgot it. And when the Niners got down inside the 10-yard line, I thought, oh my God, this game's about to end. And then I was like, wait a second, they're not treating it that way. Oh, shoot, I forgot. I forgot the rules.
I mean, it's hard to remember something that's never happened before.
I also have been on pain medication all weekend because of root canal stuff. And I was drinking last night. At home, I made cocktails for myself because I wanted to eat food. And so I wanted to chew food. I wanted to eat that bunch of chicken and seafood. Mm. So what I do, I had a couple of cocktails so then I could manage my pain and then I could chew on the right side of my mouth.
Yeah.
It's the second consecutive Super Bowl with the dental issues.
Today, what's going on with you and your teeth in the Super Bowl?
Today, but don't forget, I broke my tooth. I fractured it out in Arizona last year. Today will mark the second consecutive year. On the day after Super Bowl, I'm at the dentist's office. Last year, me and Dean were on a Zoom call with UFC Fight Pass, and everybody's got their cameras on, and they're like, you want to make sure everybody's really there? And I'm in the dental chair.
Yeah, I remember that. I do remember that.
Everyone that's on the air at UFC Fight Pass, and I'm in the dental chair, and there's four hands in my mouth. And the guy who was the boss at the time, he's like, look at Josh on the dedicated.
Yeah.
Yeah, dedicated.
But I know next year when the Super Bowl come around, I'm going to knock your teeth out.
Boom.
You don't
have to worry about it.
Kapow. These guys weren't prepared in the moment. The Chiefs guy knew what he wanted to say when they won it. He just didn't know that was going to be the end right there when he said it. They win the game, he got that, but that's not where he wanted to go.
Right.
Everybody was weird on this. You notice that. Harlan didn't get it 1,000%. He didn't necessarily nail the landing. We know that Romo interrupted Nance. He messed that up. I think the only people that actually got this right was the Korean broadcast team. Let's listen to the Korean broadcast team. They seem to be the only ones that knew this game could end. This game just did end. The championship has been decided. History and dynasty are in place. Take a listen to Korean television. Sound effects.
Yeah. Leave it up to my soul brothers to handle it right.
어쩌면 우리는 역사상 최고의 선수와 NFL 역사상 최고의 팀을 목격했는지도 모르겠습니다.
What I enjoy, and we didn't get in that clip, is when the Korean broadcast team, because we don't speak Korean. You don't speak any Korean.
No.
And so you don't know anything that they're saying, but then when they throw in names of brothers, always hilarious. Yeah. Where it's like, you know, those words, Legereus Need.
Yeah.
Legereus Need.
Like, how'd I get that right?
They seem to be best prepared for it. I'm not going to lie to you. I forgot the new rules of overtime in the Super Bowl. I got nervous when the Niners got down inside the 10. We know that the announcers weren't necessarily prepared. It was weird because this game was about to go to double overtime. And the way the clock was ticking down, some people had to be like, why are they not hurrying up? Why are they not using timeout? Well, they knew. The Chiefs were aware that if the time expires, it's okay. We still get the ball right here to start the second overtime. It's one thing that I forgot. I'm drinking. I'm on pain medication with my teeth or my root canal situation. And
you're okay. You have a pass.
I'm fine. I'm okay. And it's okay even that the broadcast got caught up in the moment. But you'd imagine the teams would know. You'd imagine that the players would know, hey, here's how overtime works now. So here's what we got to do. Here's what we want to do. Here's what we can't do. The three key things, right?
Yeah.
What we got to do, what we can't do, and what we want to do. Take a listen. The Niners players didn't seem to know the rules. The Niners players did not seem to know how overtime now works in the Super Bowl. Here's Kyle Juszczyk, postgame, admitting that when we won the coin toss in overtime and when we said we'll take the ball, I don't think we knew where to take a listen.
You know what? I didn't even realize that the playoff rules were different in overtime. So I assumed you just want the ball because you score a touchdown and win. But I guess that's not the case. So I don't totally know the strategy there. No, we haven't talked about it. No.
Is that something you guys talked about? That means the coaches get with you and say, "Listen, here's how it works in overtime."
They didn't know.
It's a contingency plan. You know, that's what contingency planning is, Tina. Right. Mm-hmm. Contingency planning is worst case scenario. Here's what we do with.
Yeah.
Right. I learned about this. The ice machine in our kitchen is going off by itself. All right, I'm just watching ice shoot all over the place. I'm talking about Vegas slot machines. And by the way, shout out Korean TV for all the little Star Wars sound effects.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Contingency planning. I learned about this in corporate advertising and PR in college. Airlines have plans in place if, God forbid, a plane crashes and people die. I know you're not planning for overtime in a Super Bowl. How many of the games have been played? 58. How many prior to last night were played? 57. Prior to last night, how many went to overtime? One. One out of 57 went to overtime, which is why CCAT wanted to bet, no, there won't be overtime, risking $100 to get $3 from me. That didn't work out for him. We'll get back to that. Kyle Juszczyk right there, what does he do? He says, not only I didn't know, I don't think we knew, he got asked about, did you discuss it? The coaches get with you. Was it discussed how this works? And he said, no. Dean Thomas, he threw his coaches under the bus.
Under the bus and hit go.
He said, yeah, no, I didn't know. They didn't tell us. They didn't remind us. Basically read into that what you will. See, Kat?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, if you're covering for your coach, if you're playing for your coach and you love your coach, you fib a little bit and work around the question to where it's clear, not clear and obvious that the guy didn't know what he was doing.
Right.
No.
Not only did he throw him under the bus, but he was like, yeah, I don't really know what the strategy was in that.
Yeah, that's true. It was a little bit of a shock.
It sounds like he's being very honest, maybe too honest, but it also sounds bad because it makes the coaches look bad. Mm-hmm. It makes Kyle Shanahan look bad, who, by the way, is the coach, offensive coordinator of the Falcons the last time the game went to overtime. So Shanahan was the offensive coordinator of the Falcons that blew a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. And then the second time the game goes to overtime, Shanahan is the head coach of the Niners. Brutal. Take a listen. Take a listen to Greeny and the crew on Get Up this morning. They listened to the exact same audio we just did. They listened to Kyle Juszczyk say what he just said. Listen to what these guys say about what it is Juszczyk should have done. Listen.
But that, man, that's I'm not sure what to say.
What are y'all doing?
for the record, Andy Reid.
Don't overshare. Don't ever overshare in life.
Two things. Dominique Foxworth yelled, lie.
Yeah.
Greeny said, I don't know what you're supposed to do there. And Foxworth says, lie. You're supposed to lie. You're supposed to say, we know the rules for overtime. We know. We know how it works. Obviously, we do this for a living. And then Saturday gives the piece of advice that we talk about all the time. If you're given lessons in media from Bill Belichick, or if you're talking to your lawyer about the deposition you're about to give or the cross-examination you're about to face, never overshare. Don't give them more than if you're on the stand and they say, do you know how fast that vehicle was traveling? The answer is yes or no. It's not, yeah, it's probably 45-ish, and I think the speed limit is 35. Shut your mouth.
Yeah.
Lawyers will tell you. Answer the question. Volunteer information.
Right.
What does Belichick do? Tina, we talk about all the time.
He barely says anything.
He barely says anything, but he doesn't overshare. Mm-hmm. He doesn't feel the need to provide more than. So it's like, Coach, do you what makes you think that you guys can turn this around next weekend? Because.
Yeah, because.
If you want to follow that up with because why, feel free to. Yeah. Coach, because why? Because I said so.
We're a good team. We're a good team. Yeah. We prepare.
If you want. Yeah. I mean, if in other words.
But he won't.
Yeah.
So Foxworth is saying you got to lie. You got to lie right there. When they say if you talked about disgust, you got to lie. And then Saturday's like, why are you oversharing? Sounds to me like they wanted. Juszczyk wanted the world to know. It's kind of
I think because you know how like when you want to try to point the finger at somebody else without really pointing the finger at somebody else, right. And be like, it wasn't really our fault. We didn't know.
Right.
That's what it sounded like he was trying to do.
Yeah. I wish we knew how this worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wink, wink. There is an element in this of throwing under the bus. There's an element of I want you guys to know. there's a little bit of the Chris Webber timeout in the 1993 national championship game, the old timeout that didn't exist that gave North Carolina the win over Michigan in college basketball. Because it was Chris Webber for 30 years. Oh, Chris Webber, he called a timeout. It's not his job to know how many timeouts they got. There's five assistant coaches, mm-hmm. and their job literally is to let him know. Can't call a timeout. No matter what you do, there are no timeouts. Can't do it. Nobody informed them. The Niners wanted the ball in overtime. I thought that was the right decision. You know why I thought that was the right decision?
Because you didn't know the rules.
Because I forgot that no matter what the Niners do or the Chiefs do, unless there's a safety, the other team gets the ball.
Right.
Because we're accustomed to the old first score wins.
Mm-hmm.
And then they change that. If you kick a field goal, the other team gets a shot. But then because of Bills Chiefs in that divisional game a couple years ago, the rule changed that if they score a touchdown, it's okay. You get the ball also. I forgot about it. It's okay for me to forget about it.
Right, but not them.
For Shanahan not to, and the coaching staff to not go over this with them, shameful.
Yes.
For Juszczyk to throw his coaches under the bus like that is shameful. For him to admit that he didn't know the rules is honorable. It's honorable. If nothing else, it's honorable because he's telling the truth, and we don't get that very often. Here's the thing. CBS, you got Gene Steratore, your rules analyst, your official. When this game goes to overtime, why is there not a one shot of him? Why is there not a one shot of him and then on the screen, the graphics? And he goes, guys, here's how overtime works. No matter what the first team does with the ball, they score a touchdown, go for two, doesn't matter. The other team will still get the ball. The only way the game ends on the first possession is if there's a safety. Would that have been useful, C-Cat?
Absolutely. I mean,
what's he there for?
Well,
what's the rules official there for? If he would have done that, Romo would have known shut the mouth.
Right.
And also, I think everybody else would have realized, oh, good to know. You've got all these, you got 37 cameras in pylons in the uprights of the field goal posts. You got all this coverage that we don't need. You know what we needed? The freaking rules official to be given 10 seconds on a one shot to explain. Overtime is changed. If the first team goes down and scores a touchdown, game's not over. The other team, they get a chance to answer. They didn't do that. They failed us all.
And what's the point of the clock, too? That just confuses everybody.
Turn the clock off.
There's no reason to have a clock.
Turn the clock off. In college football, when it goes to overtime, they turn the clock off because you go, we go. We go, you go. You go, we go.
That's it.
If this is how it's going to be in the NFL, turn the clock off. What's the point? Turn the clock off. Because that confused people on top of it.
You know, I don't think what he did was dishonorable either in terms of even throwing a coach under the bus because passive aggressive. But I mean, you got to understand it's still fresh to him. Like they almost won the Super Bowl.
They just lost.
Right. And they got to be like, yo, this ain't even our fault because we didn't know.
This isn't why they lost. Let's be clear about that. The Niners didn't lose the game because they didn't know the overtime rules. Right. They may not have chosen winning the coin flip to have taken the ball, but so what? You know, we're not going to play the result on that. Listen to the coach, Kyle Shanahan, immediately after the game. This is before he goes into media. He stopped by Evan Washburn, the reporter, who asked him about what the difference in the game might have been. Listen to what he says, because what he doesn't say might tell you a whole lot about what he actually did not know about overtime. Here's Kyle Shanahan.
Understanding it's raw, and again, it went into overtime, but is there anything right now that you feel like was the difference down the stretch?
I mean, love to score a touchdown there at the end, not give Pat another chance.
Would have loved to have scored a touchdown there at the end, not giving Pat a chance. What that means is he thinks that if they would have scored a touchdown on the first possession of overtime, Mahomes doesn't see the ball.
Right.
So he didn't know the rules. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He didn't know the rules. If he knew the rules, he'd say, we'd love to score a touchdown there to really put the pressure on Mahomes, not to not give him a chance. He's still going to get a chance.
Yeah,
if he knew the rules, he probably would have told his team as well.
He would have told his team as well. They're not going to play the game any differently. Don't get me wrong.
No.
But Dan Orlovsky brought up a great point, and this is the math of it, okay? When you watch a college football game go to overtime, the team that wins the coin flip likes to go on defense. You know why? Because then you know what you need. It also means that you get an extra down. How do you get an extra down? Well, if it's fourth down and you're the first team to go, you kick the field goal. But if you are the second team to go and you know you need more than a field goal, you're going for it on fourth down.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So by going first, it meant that if you scored, the Chiefs knew exactly what they needed, because the Chiefs in overtime had a fourth and one, and they needed to convert. And by the way, Mahomes took that from the shotgun. He could have slipped. He could have got grabbed. He could have fell short. The game ends right there. It's over. The Niners could have been Super Bowl champions on that fourth and one. But they don't go for that unless you need to. And you know you have a fourth down to go for things, no matter what, if you're the second team that goes. Because it's now or never. That's it. It's ball game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Didn't know. Listen to Kyle Shanahan in post-game press conference. Listen to him talking about the overtime and the decision to take the ball and go first. Listen.
It's just something we talked about with, you know, that none of us have a ton of experience of it, but we went through all the analytics and talked with those guys, and we just thought it'd be better. We wanted the ball third. If both teams matched and scored, we wanted to be the ones who had the chance to go win, and we got that field goal, so we knew we had to hold them to at least a field goal, and if we did, then we felt it was in our hands after that.
He doth protest too much. He's talking too much. Yeah. He doth protest too much. In the whole, we want to go third. I understand that part. But it sounds like you just figured that out. Somebody gave you an excuse.
Yeah.
Because you already just told the dude in the hallway that if you score that touchdown, Patrick doesn't get a chance.
Right.
Which meant you didn't know the rules.
You thought it was going to be over.
But by the way, the only people that, didn't know the rules of overtime aren't limited to just me and Tony Romo and Kyle Shanahan and Kyle Juszczyk. The dude who caught the winning touchdown, Mecole Hardman, he didn't seem to know either. He's on TV last night. Patrick Mahomes hijacks the set, and he goes, "Hey, you guys want to hear a funny story? Listen to Mahomes."
I'll tell a quick funny story.
Please.
I threw a touchdown to this dude at the end of the game, and he looked at me. I said, and he had no idea. I said, "Dude, we just won the Super Bowl." And he said he blacked out. He had no idea. I was like, "Bro, because he didn't even celebrate at the beginning." I'm like, "What are we doing?"
Hey, well, I see you were talking about, okay, yeah, it's time to celebrate now.
The reaction of Hardman was like, "Is that it? Are we done here?" The way that he held his arms out was, is that it? Are we done here? He did wait to spike the ball.
But that's good, though, because that means that he wasn't in his head and thinking about it. Like, oh, here comes the ball.
He might have dropped it.
Here comes the ball. Oh, no.
Yeah, he might have dropped it. The overtime rules, as I said, are pretty clear. The story is remarkable because the story that came out of this from the Kansas City Chiefs side is vastly different than it is from the San Francisco 49ers side. This, according to, I believe, a report filed by The Athletic, the Chiefs' overtime plan worked out exactly how they had hoped, and it wasn't by accident. Kansas City safety Justin Reed told The Ringer that the Chiefs had first discussed the new overtime rules as far back as training camp. Defensive lineman Chris Jones told me, the writer of this story, players were prepared for what to expect if the Super Bowl went to overtime. Quote, "We talked through this for 2 weeks," Jones said. "How are we going to give the ball to the opponent? If they scored, we was going for two at the end of the game. We rehearsed it," end quote. So the Chiefs prepared. They practiced. They knew the plan. Meanwhile, quote, the 49ers did not do the same. Multiple San Francisco players said after the game that they were not aware that the overtime rules are different in the playoffs than they are in the regular season, and strategy discussions over how to handle the overtime period did not occur as a team. Defensive lineman Eric Armstead said he learned the details of the postseason rule when it was shown on the stadium jumbotron during a TV timeout after regulation. Fullback Kyle Juszczyk, who you guys heard, said he assured the Niners, assumed the Niners asked to receive when they won the toss because that's what you did in the regular season when a touchdown wins a game. Quote, "I guess that's not the case. I don't really know the strategy," end quote. Chiefs prepared. Niners not prepared. And it's something you can prepare for.
Yeah.
It's a contingency because it's very rare to happen, but it did happen. And the championship may have been decided by one team knowing the rules and the other one not.
Well, the Chiefs have just been, they've been there. They know what to prepare for. They've been in the Super Bowl so many times.
But it doesn't matter because it's the first time a Super Bowl game went to overtime.
I know, but again, they prepared. They were prepared because they've been there before. And the Niners had not been there before in a while.
But it's a rule change you'd have to be made aware of. Coming up when we return, Taylor Swift was prepared to win the crowd over in Vegas. She thought about this in advance. She was prepared to do this just in case. I'm not sure it worked, but I like what she was thinking. Plus, Patrick Starfish. Is that his name, C-Cat?
It's Patrick Star.
It's just Patrick Star. Okay, Patrick Starfish He gave analysis, and he was very critical, by the way, of Dean's favorite player. Wait till you hear. Dean's going to be pissed. We'll get to that coming up in a second. First, though, Celsius Essential Energy. Essential Energy drinks, trying to live fit. Dean Thomas, tell him more.
That's right. I know Tina fell asleep during the game last night, but she could have used a Celsius. And I know I take Celsius because it's reliable. It keeps my energy levels up. And it tastes great with flavors like lemon lime, kiwi guava, Oasis Vibe. And when I'm traveling, I can take the on-the-go powder sticks. Just little powder sticks, you just put it in water, and boom, you got energy for hours. So it doesn't matter if I'm training, I'm on the desk, doesn't matter what I'm doing, I'm on the road, I can always count and rely on Celsius. And you can get it from your local retailer. Get yours, I got mine. Celsius Essential Energy Drinks.
Taylor Swift was prepared to try and win over the Vegas crowd. It may not have worked, but I give her credit for trying. We'll tell you what that is coming up next. It's the home team on ESPN 106.3.
This is Josh Cohen and the home team. Listen live worldwide on any smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. This is ESPN 106.3.
Tina's laughing at C-Cap because he missed the beat drop.
You missed it badly, badly.
You gotta love how the old producer, critical of the new producer.
I was about to say, I love how she's always looking for him to mess up.
Don't get me started.
So petty.
Don't get me started.
Well, no, actually.
Don't get me started. No. See, starting off the 2 minutes into the show, I didn't watch the overtime.
Yeah.
I did watch it. I fell asleep in it.
See, Cat, what you should do right now is sell Dean out for a comment he made before we get on the air about Tina and about yourself and producing the show. You should sell him out right now about a comment off the air.
Dean, I'm going to give you the opportunity to control the story from here on out.
Well, I forgot what I said.
What did you do? What did you say about me?
We have a little chat out there, and C-Cat was talking about the rundown for today and being all professional. And Dean said, I'm so glad we have a real producer now.
You said that?
I meant like...
You said that?
No, I said I'm so glad that C-Cat is our producer that does work. I mean...
you're just digging yourself a hole here.
Hold on, no, we got to read it. No, we got to show and finish.
Tina, speaking of doing work, you and I know Dean did too, like to go to the St. Lucie County Fair and do work on the fooding aspect. The fooding of the St. Lucie County Fair is, fair food. For whatever reason, St. Lucie County Fair food, a little better than regular fair food. The fooding, outstanding. I give it 5 stars. I give it 5 chocolate frozen bananas. And you're going to be there.
That's great, yes. And you know, I was going to say we all 4 should go, but now I don't know if I want to invite Dean anymore. So
you want to bring the real producer?
Yeah. The I want to bring C-Cat.
You almost said it.
I want to bring C-Cat and JC. But the 59th annual St. Lucie County Fair, the biggest event on the Treasure Coast, starts on Friday, February 23rd and goes until Sunday, March 3rd. It is 10 days of pure fun for the whole family. They've got grown-up experiences like their new beer garden, fire pits, and an all-new family fun zone, plus 17 free ground attractions, wide open rodeo, livestock shows, and crash demolition derby. There are over 100 free things to see and do, and take advantage of their mega pass that gets you entry and unlimited rides every day of the fair for just $90. Again, all the fun starts on Friday, February 23rd, and goes until March 3rd. Get your tickets at stluciecountyfair.org.
Quote, I'm so glad we have a real producer now.
Oh, wow, Dean. Wow.
But you came out.
You know what, though? I did come in here, and I kind of made fun of Dean's pants, so that kind of, you know.
Oh, yeah, she said I was wearing jeggings.
I said, are you wearing jeggings?
Are you wearing jeggings?
No, I ain't wearing jeggings.
Are you wearing jorts?
No, man, the problem is my thighs have gotten big because I've been doing them squats. So, yeah. You know what I'm saying? My calves.
You need to do some calf muscles, calf exercise.
Is squats a new candy bar? Is that a new weight gain milkshake? Squats?
Yes, that's true, my man.
Is that it? Your boy Jorge Masvidal looked like more like Jorge Masvidal.
Oh my goodness. I hadn't seen him in a minute. And when I saw that video of him, oh my goodness.
Is he trying to change divisions? I don't mean UFC, I mean to sumo.
Yeah. I mean, I did not know he had gotten that big.
Is it Masvidal? Wow. Is it Eat It All?
Yeah.
How do you say his last name?
Yeah, it's Eat It All, yeah.
My goodness. We should bring Jorge Masvidal to the St. Lucie County Fair.
Okay.
For some of that eating.
Yeah. Oh,
and some of that fooding.
He's gonna love it.
Cause it seemed like he's on.
He could be our 4th edition.
He might be on a seafood diet from the looks of it.
Yeah, it looks like
seafood.
Yeah.
When
he sees food, he eats it. That's exactly right. Taylor Swift was prepared to win the crowd over how? They show her on the Jumbotron, right? I hate to call it that, but everybody does. Show on the video board inside Allegiant Stadium. And she's there with Brooke Lively, who is Ryan Reynolds' wife.
Yes.
And
amazing actress.
Movie star in her own right. And then also with them is Little Orphan Annie. I'm sorry, they call her
Ice Spice.
Right.
She's like Orphan Annie.
That's just occurring to you now?
It just occurred to me now she's like Orphan Annie.
It just occurred to you now.
Yeah, like when you said that earlier, I didn't know who you was talking about. I was like, where little Orphan Annie was out there?
I was looking for Sandy the dog.
Yeah.
If she wore a red dress,
yeah,
people would be like, oh, you must be on Broadway.
Yeah.
Is Annie a show in Vegas right now? What's going on with this? Taylor Swift must have been prepared because when they showed her on the video board, she grabbed her cocktail. Oh. I think it was a big glass of wine, and she started chugging it. And you don't do that unless you're like premeditated. Like she was, in case they show us, you know the plan. We're having a chug off. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the people that are going to boo you are going to start to cheer you. Taylor Swift is smart. She's calculating. She knows what she's doing. This was not a spontaneous kind of, oh my God, we're on the TV. She didn't act snobbish. She didn't turn around. Instead, she grabbed a drink, started chugging. But guess what? He started booing anyway.
No, but that's not her. Like, I had gone inside to grab a snack, and I missed this. And I look at my phone, and I go, why am I getting an ESPN notification about Taylor Swift chugging a beer or chugging whatever drink she had?
Right.
That's not her character. And I feel like she was trying to be like, I'm one of you. Like, no, I'm a football fan.
But that was a moment for her. If she had chugged the beer and they started booing, if she had shot the double birds, they would have loved her.
She should have turned around and pulled her pants down and mooned the crowd.
They would have loved her.
Have some of that. Yeah.
Double bird. I would have loved to see that by Taylor Swift.
Could you imagine if she started mouthing the F word?
Yep.
Double bird. Like Eminem?
Yep.
Like Eminem in San Francisco?
Yep.
Yes.
All of a sudden in the postseason, Eminem has become Taylor Swift and Taylor Swift became Eminem. Who could have seen this?
Who could have seen that coming?
It didn't really happen, but it'd been fun if that were the case. Mm-hmm. So we know that Christian McCaffrey, Dean's favorite player in the National Football League, he fumbled on the opening drive of the game. The Niners looked like they were going to go in and get seven right quick. Christian McCaffrey fumbles. You've got Patrick the Starfish, otherwise known as Patrick Starr, on the Nickelodeon broadcast. Listen to him being critical, trying to give like pointers to Christian McCaffrey on the telecast. Listen.
Who's Carroll?
You have to firmly grasp it.
Firmly grasp it.
George Karloftis jumped on it, and the Chiefs have the ball.
You have to firmly grasp it. You have to firmly grasp it.
SpongeBob being like, firmly grasp
it. He's talking points of contact. Yeah, it was SpongeBob, right?
Yeah, SpongeBob chimed in.
Just echoing what Patrick says?
Yes.
Are those guys a couple?
No, they're best friends.
They're not partners?
Best friends.
Okay, because I know that in the very beginning of that show, I remember, coworkers, teammates of mine at the old radio station talking about how in gay community, they loved that show and they believed that it was representation of and representation for. And I remember a lot of these dudes that I knew, and there's one cat that worked with us, Neon Leon, the psychic. He had the SpongeBob keychain. Mm. And he goes, oh, yeah, that's... And I said, really? He said, oh, yeah, yeah. And then just recently, the creator of the show said yes.
Like, really?
SpongeBob is alternative lifestyle, the show. But I've never seen an episode, so I don't know. Because like Ernie...
That was my childhood.
Ernie and Bert are rumored to have been more than friends. And by that, I mean, on this show, we've talked openly about the fact that me and Dean are buddies. And me and Dean have pictures of us. But me and Dean have never had anyone commissioned to paint a portrait of us. Yeah. And Ernie and Bert, their beds have the E and the B, but then there's paintings of them. So if you have a painting done of you and someone else... your family.
Right.
And Ernie and Bert have paintings of themselves.
I know, but they got separate beds, right?
They got separate beds. But everybody did, though.
What I'm saying. But back in the day, like if you look at old sitcoms, the husband and wife had separate beds as well. So like that's...
Right. Right. You had to. But anyway, I don't know the relationship between... I mean, you're a little younger than she is, C-Cat. You're 25, 26. What do you know?
25.
And Tina's almost 30 now.
No, I'm not.
I can't believe that. She's an old ass Tina.
Tina, old.
Is that crow's feet? What is that?
Oh. Wow.
When you said that, she actually did. Look,
I actually
does.
Do have crow's she does. Feet.
All right, well,
It doesn't bother me.
I didn't mean it then.
Why are you so hurtful?
Right?
Just, broke up on the wrong side of the bed today.
I guess so.
Oh, man.
Do those two, are they more than friends?
I was a Disney Channel kid. Didn't watch much Nickelodeon.
Squidward is everybody knows the Squidward.
Is alternative lifestyle?
Yeah, for sure.
But does he have a thing with Bob?
No.
So I don't know. I got to watch it. Yeah. Let me watch the first three episodes.
It's funny.
And who is it?
Yeah.
Dean Thomas. How old are you now?
32.
Right. 47 years old. Hey, SpongeBob, it's pretty funny. I'll have to check it out to see, but apparently they made the broadcast. Yeah. Apparently they made it entertaining. And you just heard the Christian McCaffrey, what did he say, grasp it firmly?
Firmly, it's from an episode, an old episode of SpongeBob.
So he's doing references.
Yes.
He's spitting references on himself.
Mm-hmm.
Giving himself a little callback. How did people lose money on their Brock Purdy play? How did they lose money on this? It's kind of a hilarious circumstance, as long as you didn't bet it. Brock Purdy rushing yards was a very popular proposition. People bet money that Brock Purdy would rush for over a certain amount of yards. Did you guys happen to see that amount of yards?
No.
12.5.
12.5. That's it?
It's just Brock Purdy.
But still, Brock Purdy got them wheels on him.
But on the season, he didn't rush for that. In the postseason, he's rushed for more than that.
Right.
Brock Purdy's rushing total, 12.5 yards. Well, the American public loves to go over, and they did. They bet over in a big way. Purdy had 13 rushing yards. And then at the end of regulation, he took a knee so the game would go to overtime safely. Well,
wow.
In doing so, you take a yard off the board, he finishes with 12.
Hold on, wait a minute. You take a yard off if you take a knee?
When you take a knee, it's a negative yard in rushing.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Everybody that thought they won lost. Everybody thought they lost won because he took the knee, which took a yard off the board.
Did he realize that he did that?
Of course he did. What are you supposed to do?
You're supposed to make sure everybody win. They
try and sneak it forward?
Yeah.
Some people did win. Some people lost.
Some people won. Some people lost. But that's a terrible way to lose.
Yeah, it is.
That's a brutal way to lose. Speaking of winning and losing, C-Cat, are you ready to do Remember When? Presented by Brain Matters Research, with offices on the Treasure Coast and in Palm Beach County. Making your memories matter. Brain Matters Research at memoryscreeningsflorida.com. Memoryscreeningsflorida.com. It was on this day. See if you remember this. We're going to go way back. How far back you want to go, Tina? Last year? Sounds good.
Okay.
We're going to go back 1 year. It was on this day in 2023 when this happened. Take a listen. Do you remember?
Low sinking kick. Tony on the run. Still up on his feet. Tony has a wall. It's another block. Tony inside the 20. Tony still going, and he's down to the 5. Mahomes in trouble, gets away. Mahomes racing with the bad ankle and all inside the 20, and he's taken down. Hurts has all day. Now some rushers come. Going to throw it as far as his arm can take it, which is well short. And the Kansas City Chiefs have won Super Bowl 57.
A very anticlimactic finish, which is why we needed all that setup. Remember, the Chiefs were able to get the penalty, get the ball, take the knee, kick the field goal, and win themselves their second Super Bowl in 3 years. Now they've got 3-4 1 year ago today. February 12th, 2023. Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, the first of their back-to-backs. And it was presented, Remember When, by Brain Matters Research. 50 and over should get memory screenings, part of your annual checkup. People that know folks and love folks over 50 know that they need to get in and get a fast, free, no cost to you whatsoever, memory screening. Just to check and see to make sure. But if you are someone that can participate in the study, dementia and its leading form, Alzheimer's, there's a lot that can be done now with two FDA-approved treatments. I want you to realize, if you've ever seen someone with dementia, Alzheimer's, and seeing them deteriorate, that is not something you ever want to witness again. Not for yourself, not for anyone you love or care about. Stuff can be done now. That's the difference. And if you participate in the study, not only is everything covered, but you'll be compensated for your time and for your travel. Go to memoryscreeningsflorida.com. Memoryscreeningsflorida.com. Brain Matters Research, Treasure Coast and Palm Beach offices. Making your memories matter. When we come back, three-time Super Bowl champion Troy Aikman had an old tweet come back to haunt him, bite him right in the bottom. You'll hear what that was when we return. It's the home team on ESPN 106.3.
This
This is Josh Cohen and the Home Team. Listen live worldwide on any smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. This is ESPN 106.3.
It is the Home Team for the ride home on the least productive day in America. The biggest day of calling in sick in America. Today's that day. We come to work because you know how we do. Day after Super Bowl, an American tradition of laziness and fake sickness, unlike any other. But if you work hard, like Dean Thomas does in real life, you may need a little recovery. That's where iSpot Active comes into play.
It sure does come into play. Sorry, I ain't turning my mic on. But I tell you what I do is that I do.
You don't say.
I need my recovery. I need it fast. And the easiest way for me to do that is through iSpot Active. It's wearable cryotherapy, the first of its kind. Form-fitting compression shorts and pants. You just put the ice-cold gel packs in, put it on, and go. It is the best way to recover. You just put it on and chill. You guys see what I did there?
Put it on and chill.
Yeah, put it on and chill. But that's get yours. Chill. You can go to icebodactive.com. If you use the coupon code ESPN1063, that's ESPN1063, you get 20% off your first purchase. So go to icebodactive.com.
Thank you, Dean Thomas. And yes, I was just talking about how you work hard with everything but turning the mic on.
Yeah. So, you know, great job. It's, that's what you get for talking bad about me.
I'm sorry.
Back in the day, Athletic Kansas City. The Athletic Kansas City. This was September 23rd of 2019. So this was before Patrick Mahomes had won a Super Bowl. Okay, do the math. It's the fall of 2019. Pandemic hadn't happened yet. They tweeted out ICYMI, which stands for, in case you missed it. Patrick Mahomes has thrown 36% of Troy Aikman's career touchdowns in about 8% of the games that it took Troy Aikman.
Right.
Yep. End quote. Troy Aikman quote tweeted that and said, ICYMI, in case you missed it, talk to me when he has 33% of my Super Bowl titles. Well, we can talk to you now, Troy, because now he has 100% of your Super Bowl titles. It was just like 3 months after this that he wound up getting 33%. And then obviously today he has 100%. Wow. Aikman won 3. And obviously Mahomes just won his 3rd. When we come back, man, the cocktail hour is going to be electric. If you thought that Travis Kelce singing Elvis was fantastic, wait till you hear Dean Thomas and Dina Oki today pay tribute to the king.
Oh.
Plus Usher. What happened last night during the show that the NFL covered, fixed, and deep faked? You'll hear it. We caught the NFL red-handed. You'll hear it coming up next. It is the Home Team on ESPN 106.3.